Okay, we are on page 417, 418. In the Hebrew, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines down. Vezesha kasuv. And in the Hebrew, it's the first paragraph on the left-hand side. And this is the meaning of the verse. This is a tzedakah letter. And the nuance of this tzedakah letter is that godliness comes into this world. A little bit in the world to come, a lot in this world. And it's all because of an expression of the letters of Hashem's articulates of speech, as he went into great length speaking about Shar Yichud Ve'amuna. And the last point that he made was that giving even a small amount of tzedakah is not really just a small amount of tzedakah. It is a whole lot of godliness.
Right.
V'zesha Amar, or Zesha Kosev, Al Yishalo Chacham B'Chachmasi. This is what it says, do not praise a Chacham for his wisdom. Ki B'zeis Yishalo Kulu, this you shall praise him. And the middle in there is his knowledge of me. Ki Ani Hashem Oisa Chesed, because I Hashem do kindness. So this pasuk, it says over here, don't praise Hashem because of his witness. Don't praise a Chacham because of his wisdom, but praise him for the knowledge of me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now that statement is actually is quite perplexing. Because we're calling this guy a Chacham.
Right.
What has caused him to become a Chacham?
Well, one would assume it's because he's learned.
Correct.
He's studied.
And what has he learned? We're not talking physics over
no,
here.
No, Torah.
We're talking Torah.
Sure.
So this guy's a Chacham because he learned a lot of Torah. Okay?
Yes.
And the Torah says, don't praise this guy because he learned a lot of Torah. Okay, so he became a Chacham because he's learning Torah.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Which, a person who's learned so much Torah that we refer to him as a Chacham, isn't that a good thing?
You would think that would be a good thing. Yeah.
So we're saying no.
Oops.
Okay. And there are many ways of looking to say why not. What type of chacham shouldn't a chacham be? Want any of this?
Sure.
Okay. There is a among Lubavitchers is. The word is ekledik, which ekledik doesn't exactly mean disgusting, but it means disgusting. For a person to learn in order that people should realize how great they are.
Yeah, yeah.
This is really considered something that a person should not do.
Extremely gross.
That if a person is learning in order to become
recognized.
A gadol, and even more than that, to be recognized as a gadol.
Yeah.
This is... There is a story. The Tzemach Tzedek sent Shluchim to America in the early 1900s, 1910s.
Yeah.
Okay. Most of them just sort of like, if they didn't, their kids melted into the woodwork.
Uh-huh.
They started shuls, like, for example, that were called Anshei Leibowitz or Nusach Hari.
Right.
And they were pretty much all over the eastern part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You had in Baltimore and Newark and New York and Worcester and Detroit. You have all these Nusach Hari and Anshei Leibowitz shuls. So the story goes is there's a group of Lubavitchers and they're standing on a corner in the Lower East Side.
Mm.
Now, in the Lower East Side, they didn't have, at that time, indoor plumbing. Uh-huh. They had outhouses.
Yes.
And being that this is the middle of a teeming city, it can't do it like the outhouse out in the back 40 over there.
Right.
These things have to be emptied on a regular basis.
Sure, of course it is.
Okay, so these trucks that would go around, they would collect the contents of the outhouse.
Honey wagon.
So the one chassid says to the other, "Kuk chevra, these seinen unser gedolim." Look, buddies, these are our gedolim. Okay, but they're making a pun over there. The number two is also called a gadol.
Uh-huh.
And gadolim are also called like these big scholars.
Uh-huh.
So this is what how we look upon people who want to become gadolim, per se.
Right.
So when I used to learn with somebody who was, he was pretty, an average smart person, you know, he got married late. So he was actually learning in Lakewood for a number of years till his mid-20s. Mm. And then when he was in Lakewood, he was in Lakewood Colo for a year or two. And then they told him that he really doesn't belong in Lakewood. He should go to this other place where they have a Colo, and he'll do much better there. Mm. And so at the time that he was sitting and learning till he was 36 in Colo. Mm. So one day I walked in. We used to learn every night after I was in Colo. He was in Colo. After Seder, we sat and we learned Gemara for like another half hour, 45 minutes. Mm. Okay. And so he's sitting there and he's crying. And I walked in and I said, what's the matter? His wife was pregnant. I said, how's your wife? Is anything wrong? What's the kids? And he says, no. It's not, my wife is fine. Thank God, my kids. Yeah. He said, I've been sitting and learning from the time I'm 3 years old until the time I'm 36. And now I suddenly realize that I'm not going to be a gadol. I have to leave Kolel and I have to go teach third grade to make Parnassa. Okay? And I sat.
That goal from the start?
What could I tell you? His goal was to become a gadol, yes. Mm-hmm. So, and he was devastated. And I spent the whole half hour, 45 minutes, whatever it was, consoling him. Mm-hmm. Okay? That, yeah. So he's not going to be a gadol, this, that. And in the meantime, I'm thinking to myself, what I really should be doing is slapping you. That's what I really should be doing. I should be knocking the crap out of you, buddy, for such impertinence. You know, it's like I could have told you weren't going to be a gadol when you were 25. I mean, you know, like hello.
Yeah.
So
what was the thing that all of a sudden he realizes this? What stemmed from?
He needed money. So Kolo wasn't paying him enough.
Uh-huh.
He's having his fourth kid or fifth kid already.
Right.
So he has to go get Nebuch a job. Okay, a job teaching third graders. Oh my goodness!
Such a devastation.
Anyway, so that we can say that's that type of a person. You shouldn't praise his wisdom. What has he been sitting and learning his whole life? He's sitting and learning Torah.
Yeah.
Okay. In that instance, it becomes chachmasai. Al tischalo chacham bechachmasai. Don't praise the chacham for his wisdom. Okay, yeah. That's one way you could interpret it, but that's not the way that in Chassidus it's interpreted.
Okay.
But it says, Kiim b'yediyas oisei. There's a big difference between chachma and das, and we've talked about this in chapter 3, and chapter 5, and a bunch of other places we talk about it, that what's chachma, what makes a chacham a chacham? A chacham is not a smart person. That would be a maven. A maven is a smart person. Mm. Okay. A chacham is usually translated sage.
Yes.
Sage doesn't necessarily mean smart. Sage is usually something that has to do with like advice. Being able to analyze a situation and come out with a proper conclusion. That's what a chacham is.
Okay.
Okay, so here now the Pasuk is telling us, do not praise a person for him being a sage. Because it's him. He's coming up with the right ideas.
For his ability to give advice.
Hashem gave him this talent,
right.
And he's doing it the best he can, to the best of his ability. But that's missing something. Should a person be praised for? Well, the word das doesn't have anything to do with intellect really at all. When we say the word no, das means connect. To put into tangible terms that this person sees godliness as reality.
Right.
That's a person you could say, oh, this is somebody I'd like to emulate. Mm. A person who looks and says that the spiritual world and godliness and all the stuff that's going on in Elokus is 100% real.
Yes.
Okay.
It is real.
There's a
There's
an old mashpia in the early Torah by the name of Eliachim Reutblatt.
Okay.
He passed away, I don't know, he was 92, 94 years old, and that was in, I think, the late 1990s. So when I was hanging around 770, so when he passed away, he was an old man.
Yeah.
When he was hanging around 770, when I was hanging around 770, he was just an old man.
He was just an old man. Right.
Okay. But he was with it. He was sharp. He was sharp right up to the last minute.
Wow.
Okay. It says about him that he was like in a hospital in like a coma, and they were saying this is it. His vital signs are going down, and suddenly in the middle of everything, he opened up. He sat up, and he said, I have to daven Ma'ariv. He got up, he davened Ma'ariv. He had all of his family around him. He gave them all instructions. He said, Kriya Shema Al Mita, complete with Al Chet, lay down in the bed and die. Wow. Okay? Yeah. So, this tells you a little bit, who is this guy? So he said, someone asked him by Fabrangan, and he's like 80-something-year-old man, and he's been sitting in study, because he's a mashpia. Mm. Somebody asked him, if you could have one thing, what would it be? This is obviously a person, he's not going to say, you know, a car, he for sure didn't drive, you know, he's not going to say riches. He said, what did he say? He said, I want one indication that what I've been learning in Hasidus my whole life is absolutely 100% correct. Blew me right out of the room. Right out of the room. Okay? Because what are we talking about? Okay? We mentioned this before. If you're talking about a Gemara with a cow and an ox and guard things and things over the side and which did this and that does this and we have all kinds of sfeikas and how are we going to figure this out? So I can say, okay, I got it. I understand what it's supposed to do. If you got a cow, you got an ox, this is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Okay? And then we're told, according to Chassidus, that you don't have it. Because it's really just a mashal.
That's a mashal.
For things that are going on in spiritual worlds, right. And you haven't got it at all.
Right.
Okay? But I understand. Listen, people sit and learn Gemara, they think they understand it.
Yeah.
But this is the stuff that we're talking about. And so it's like, there's no... Because once you pull yourself out of the third dimension... It's like there's no indication at all that this is anything having to do with reality whatsoever. This is the reality which is predetermined, but figured by people like the Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov, Shimon Bar Yochai, Moshe Rabbeinu. And why is it that we believe these people is because they had Das.
They knew it.
You could see it on these people that for them this was reality.
Exactly.
Okay, and the Rebbe, you know, the Rebbe people say, okay, the Rebbe was a Baal Maifus, but the Rebbe didn't do anything that went, his Maifusim were not anything that went against nature for the most part. Miracles. Okay, so people want to say there's a big discussion. That at 90 years old, the Rebbe gave out 5,000 tanyas.
Yeah.
Okay, and that means he picked up every tanya and handed it to everybody. Okay, now you do this motion, and he had it such that he was just moving his wrist. But if you move your wrist 5,000 times, I want to see. You know, even to do that. And I was told, like label groaner, that the Rebbe iced his arm afterwards for several hours because he was in pain. Sure. But just to be able to do that. So people were saying, this is a miracle. That the Rebbe was going against nature because 90-year-old men aren't supposed to be able to do such a thing. Okay, fine, good. And that the Rebbe had the sight and vision to tell people, don't get on airplanes because they're going to get hijacked, without telling them that a plane was going to get hijacked. Okay, fine. But that wasn't things like with the Baal Shem Tov, that the Baal Shem Tov ran out of candles and said, the wife came and said, we have no candles. And he said, well, could you please go outside and get some icicles and we'll light those.
Right.
Okay, now for a person to be able to do that, they have to have a clear vision of what is Elokus.
They understand.
And that's why we can be adherents to their philosophies.
Baba Sally, you know, there's stories that he would just like pour the bottle all night long.
Yeah, it would just keep on pouring, yes. Yeah. All stuff like this, yes. So, okay, we were talking before the shiur. The question was raised about a radio program. Right. And my opinion, I don't listen to these people because I have no patience for them. So now I understand really why it is I have no patience for them. It's because they're talking off the top of their heads. Or out of some other part of their anatomy. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. As I said, as I have no reason, I have not. I'm not going to listen to them because I've listened to the Rebbe. So why do I listen to the Rebbe? Because it's obvious the Rebbe had das.
Right.
These people on the radio have no das whatsoever. They have not.
Well, something secular.
Yeah. Okay. I've been saying for decades. I have no patience for punditry, even my own. Anyway, so. So that's what it means that you should praise a person for his knowledge of Hashem.
Yeah.
Ki ani Hashem oisa chesed ki hachesed hu hamamshich chaya hachachma lamata. And this is an expression of Hashem chesed. This is all the fact that anything's even going on over here is an expression of Hashem's kindness, and that this kindness is drawn down. And this is the life behind the chachma. V'amalei hari nikras chachma soy levadei. That says, don't praise him for his chachma, right, because it's his. It's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu's. B'li hamshachas chayim emenuch haser shalom. From his chachma, you don't get anything. It's not. That's where it stops. The buck stops there.
Oops.
Okay.
Better get changed.
Ubezei yuvan mashikas of yes. Ubezei yuvan mashikas of arizal. I would like to finish the chapter today.
Okay.
And this we will understand. That means you can still ask questions.
No.
That it says the arizal. Sheyesh base meaning neshamas biyisrael. Our sages, the Arizal says you got two types of souls. You have neshamas tamidei chachamim, meaning people who are sitting and learning Torah a whole day. And neshamas bali mitzvahs ha'iskim b'tzadaka gemilas chesedim. And then you have people who are people involved with mitzvahs and doing good deeds. And at different time periods in Jewish history, we see that there were times when it was prevalent, or it was preferable, rather, to be a person who engaged a whole day in Torah study.
Right.
That's the way things were going to get accomplished.
Right.
Yeah, because we know the story of Lag BaOmer coming up, and we know the story involving the Chayni Amagel, that it didn't rain, so they asked Chayni Amagel, please daven for it to rain, so he drew a circle, and he told Hashem, I'm not standing outside of the circle till you make it rain.
Right.
So it started to give a little drizzle, a little mist, and he said, no, that's not good, you have to give a lot of rain, and it started torrenting to such where it could bring havoc and destruction, and he said, no, you know what I mean, make it rain properly.
Mm-hmm.
And finally it started raining properly. Okay, so the next time there was a drought, So Chayni Amagel is gone. And so they ask Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, please intercede on our behalf for rain.
Yeah.
So he said he started expounding on the verse, Hinei Matovu Manachem Shevasachem Gam Yachad. And it started raining immediately properly.
Mm-hmm.
So we see from this, Chayni Amagel was no slouch. The fact that he could command God, not like this, I'm not moving till you, I'm not getting out of this circle, God, until, okay? I know what you could do, and I'm not doing it. No, not like that, that's not what I want, I don't want like that, I want like this. Okay, that takes a little bit of ability on the part of Chayni Amagel. Okay, but Shimon Bar Yochai, he was kind of like laid back. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to get into all that. I'm just going to expound. You see, the power of his Torah was able to be mamshich, the needs of the right away, automatically.
Instantly, right.
So you see that there's a time and place for everything.
Yes.
What's the connection with Achdus and the rain?
When he says, how great it is that brethren sit together. That's exactly the. It says, when is it that Hashem is most, I don't want to say at harmony, most pleased with the Jewish people, or at favor with the Jewish people? When they're getting along.
Right.
No, because I think, like it says in the Gemara, like, if it's raining in your city and it's not raining in another city, like, yeah, like they have to do tshuva, or you have to daven for them, or.
Okay.
I don't know, that's just popping in my head. Might be.
Works. I mean, it just always amazes me. Like, for example, in Arkansas, you've got deluges, and in California, you've got wildfires. I mean, right. Because there's no rain, so they should make a pipeline where they can take all the floodwaters out of one place and ship it off to the other place, so solve two problems.
Hmm.
So there are time periods in a person's life. When a bachur is sitting in yeshiva, so that's the time when he should be sitting and learning. He shouldn't be focusing on the world. The Rebbe used to laugh. There's a sikha somewhere, and I don't know, Aleph or Beis, I think it is, I'm not sure exactly where the Rebbe is laughing. He's a 13-year-old bachur, and he's reading the New York Times.
Mm.
Now, why is he reading the New York Times? Because in less than 10 years, he'll have already gotten married, he's going to have to start thinking about a job, and he should know about the world. And so 10 years, he's thinking he's going to sit and read the New York Times, and that's going to get him a job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the Rebbe obviously negated such a philosophy that a 13-year-old and a 20-year-old should be sitting and thinking about nothing but learning. Because at that point, that's what the main thing is. And then, when a person's out in the world, and they're working 9 to 5, or sun up to sundown, when, he says it over here, when they're sitting and learning Torah, they should learn the period of time that they're sitting and learning, even though it's 5 minutes, should be learned with the same dedication of as the Shimon Bar Yochai. That was one of the things that the Rebbe used to emphasize. That kvius itim l'teira. You've heard this expression. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that a person has to have fixed times to learning Torah.
Right.
So the Rebbe says it doesn't mean on a clock or on the calendar, but it has to be fixed in a person's soul. That just like it is that a person eats breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and that's an absolute. So the Torah that the person learns, even if it's 5 minutes, should be with the same absolute. Okay, and make it just to the extent Tarasa Umanasi, that's his craft work. Okay, I tell this to my Balabatim, people that I learn with all the time. If someone asks you, what do you do for a living? You should tell them, I learn with Finman once a week. Okay, is that how you earn money? I said, no, you didn't ask me how I earn money. You asked me, how do I make a living?
Right.
Okay, that's how I make a living.
Right.
I pay my bills by going to work.
Right.
Okay, so that's what a person should really see. A person should really see that the time that they're engaged in Torah study, that the world doesn't exist.
Right.
Okay, just like you don't pick up the phone, just like you don't pick up the phone on Shabbos, so the time that a person's sitting and learning should not pick up the phone. Okay, it's very important, and it could be an emergency, but you didn't pick up the phone on Shabbos.
Right.
So it could be important, and it could not be important if the phone's ringing on, when you're in the middle of learning.
That's right.
I think you told the mice about that.
That's how we came from?
Yeah. Some rabbi's house, and he said, maybe it's important.
He said, maybe it's not. Yes, exactly. That's what got me onto Frumkeit.
Uh-huh.
I was able to just transcend all of the world, you know, the worldliness of the world. Okay? So there's an important time when a person should be studying Torah. Now, our time that we live in, Akvasa the Mashiach, the times of the heels of Mashiach. And the Alter Rebbe called his generation the heels of Mashiach. We're 200 and change years later. So we're like almost like on the floor.
On the calluses.
Generation of, we're already off the calluses. We're like on the floor already with generation of Mashiach.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so our main thing now, our main thing is mitzvahs.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, that's getting things done.
100%.
The lachar, so he says now. Lachar ha'gam atamid chacham tzrikim lo esa gemilas chasadim. You have to say Talmud Chacham also has to engage in tzedakah. Kamayim rizal shafilu teira ein lei. As it says, a person says Perkei Avos, I only learn teira and I don't do gemilas chasadim. So he doesn't even have teira either. Okay, so there's a question is asked, why is it that he chooses Torah? If a person says, I only put on tefillin and I don't do anything else, for example. So he's not putting on tefillin either, he's not doing that either. Okay, so because Torah is a mitzvah, there's two things going on when you learn Torah. We learned back in chapter 5. You have the mitzvah of learning Torah, and you have the mitzvah of understanding Torah, and you have the mitzvah of speaking Torah. There's a lot going on. So when it comes to Torah, Torah is chachmaso v'ritzayna shel kadosh baruch hu. And you have in the statement, Talmud Torah keneged kulam. The study of Torah weighs equal to everything. And so you would think that there's nothing more important. But you have other things. It says Shabbos is keneged kulam. Shabbos weighs equal to everything. Tefillin weighs equal to everything. Shema weighs equal to everything. Tzitzis weighs equal to everything. So, but this, that the Torah is such an inclusive mitzvah, it's such a general mitzvah, is what I want to say, a klalisdika mitzvah. So a person could really think that I am doing everything that needs to be done by learning Torah. And for example, the mitzvahs that are impossible to do, like offering karbanos. If a person feels that he needs to offer a karban, what should he do? Learn about that karban. And Hashem considers it as though he offered it. And not only that, but it'll be easier, because first of all, he doesn't have to go to Yerushalayim. Then he doesn't have to deal with some kohen who's going to make a mistake and think he's offering up a shlamim instead of an oilah, or a chatas.
Right.
And then he has to worry about finding that the cow's got is a trefa inside.
Right.
Okay, he's sitting, he's learning about it, and it's 100%, Hashem considers it. So he's thinking, I don't have to do anything else. I got everything. I'm learning about tzedakah.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, so now we got to understand, why is it that learning about tzedakah doesn't help? Because you got a guy comes, knocks on the door. He says, I'm hungry. And the guy says to him, just a second. And he takes out a Gemara Baba Basra and he sits and he learns for half an hour about tzedakah.
Yeah.
And he tells the guy, how's that?
Yeah, you feeling better?
doesn't exactly do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take that home to your wife and kids.
Yes. Okay.
Came up, sitting there and learning about tefillin or something.
Exactly. So even if you have a person who's a Talmud Chacham, and for most part he's sitting and learning, and there are such people that actually qualify for such things, and yes, I am jealous of them. I wish I could sit all day and learn. For me, a vacation would be to be able to just be left alone with all of my books, and I'd be able to sit and learn, and don't bother me. That would be like the ideal vacation. I don't have to see anything, I have to go anywhere, or do anything.
Sure.
Just let me sit and learn. Okay? But, so, that opportunity was not afforded me. So he says, but he is occupying some in tzedakah. It says, he's doing good, learning's fine. We say, the expression is, we have it a zillion times throughout Chassidus, that an arousal from below causes an arousal from below. Okay, now, but that means it's comparable. How much ever the arousal from below is, that's how much the arousal from above will be. So this person, he's sitting and learning. So what is he doing? So there's he's all excited. He's learning. If he's learning Gemara, so he's only bringing down Elokus down to the world of creation, down to Bria. Or if he's learning Mishnah, so he's able to give a little charge to the Malachim over there in the world of Yetzirah. Okay, and if he's learning Chumash, okay, so it brings the godliness down here, but not in any concrete term. And how is that? Is because, why is it, and how is he affecting the Malachim? Is because the Malachim know about Elokus. They see that their neshama is a composite of, or an amalgam of, the letters that are coming through the creation process. And this person is talking letters of Torah and is being brought down into the world of Yetzirah, the world of formation, which is where all the Malachim are, and is giving them an extra charge of godliness that they can appreciate. Now, because since this person is talking Mishnah, and Mishnah is Torah Shebal Peh, and Torah Shebal Peh is Chachmas V'Ratzon Hashem L'Kadosh Baruch Hu, back to Atzilus. So he's able to draw that down, but only as far as Atzilus is concerned. As far down as to Yetzirah, to formation. Ach laham shechalahered ha'ara v'chayis v'chinas ha'hevel ha'elyein ha'eitata l'olam hazeh ha'shefel. But if you really want to get the godliness down here, that this godliness is coming from Hashem's blessed mouth, supernal speech, which is Malchus of Atzilus, which is, he describes here as the Hei Tata, which is all the same, the last Hei of Hashem's name, and Malchus, and Shechina, and Adnai, it's all the same. You want to get that all down here, to this low world, Shehu Timsum Godel B'Yasser Oiz, that takes a tremendous amount of the creation process. Mm. The big Talmud Chacham who gives a little bit of money sometimes and does some kind of mitzvah sometimes isn't going to cut it. Mm. Okay, he's keeping those three pillars about the which the world stands. Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim. But evidently what it is that when a person learns Torah, so it leaves a permanent effect in the world. So all the Torah that have been learned over the millennia has been stockpiling. Mm. That's why, since they were spent so much time in learning so much and not so much time in doing good deeds, so to balance thing out, we have to engage in the good deeds.
We have to do the good deeds.
So doing the Talmud Chacham route isn't going to cut it. El al yedei yisurusid debali mitzvahs. But it's only through the arousal from people doing mitzvahs. The business guy.
Yes.
He goes out to work, he's schlepping his kishkes, mm-hmm. and he's taking out a major part of his time to engage in doing mitzvahs and giving tzedakah. That brings the godliness down in a concrete form down here in something which is tangible, as we see. Just go ask that poor person that you just gave that money to.
Right.
Okay, there's no better description of how godliness is transferred than by taking this money out of your pocket and giving it to a poor person, so now that poor person can live. Hmm. That's why people who give tzedakah are called supporters of the Torah.
Hmm.
I mean, we have this, and this is not something new. You have the Zevulun and Yisachar arrangement. Zevulun went out in the ships.
Right.
And what do you think they were doing on the ships? They were sitting and learning.
Mm-hmm.
You got time, sit and learn. That's what Jews do.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but they're out in the ships. They're involved with business.
Mm.
You know, but they had to learn. They also had to learn. Okay, but their main thing was the business.
Right.
And Yisachar. So I'm sure, listen, they also had to put on tefillin and do that kind of stuff.
Mm.
You know, so, but the main thing is, that's what they're called, the supporters. V'hein v'chines v'medregis netzach v'hoid lihiyes mamshichim or hatera l'matel or l'masiya. And the Bali Oiskim are called the thighs, you might say.
Mm. Yeah.
Your thighs is what support your body. That's where your strength is. The strength of your body is in the part between your knee and your hip.
Mm.
That's where all your strength is. Okay, I don't know if you ever engage in pugilism.
No.
Boxing.
Ah.
Okay, when you box, I did have some boxing lessons when I was a kid, and I stopped after my first sparring match when a guy just like threw one punch and put me on a canvas and he said, I'm out. All that stuff I've been doing over here with the practicing, with the ropes, with the punch in the bag, and the whole business over there, and getting into it, and getting my timing down. And this guy just
waylaid you.
One punch, and I was looking at the ceiling. And I just said, "No, this is not for me."
Yeah.
So, but what's conveyed to me is that when you punch, you don't punch from your shoulder; you punch from your hip.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, you put your whole body into it because your strength is in your hip. So the strength of the Jewish people is not in the Talmud Chachamim. The strength of the Jewish people are in the Bali Tzedakah. That's really what's, those are the ones who are really doing the job.
Hmm.
Now we can understand, going back to the very beginning, 4 hours ago, when we started this, why it is that the verse refers to Tzedakah as Maisa. It says in that pasuk that the deed of tzedakah is peace. It should have just said that tzedakah is peace. Mm. I understand. Somebody's hungry. He's ready to break into my house. Mm. I give him some money. He's not going to break into my house anymore. Okay? Or, as we know, that the majority of fights in between man and wife, husband and wife, is
about
having to deal with finances.
Yes, money.
Baruch Hashem, my wife and I made up at the beginning of our relationship that finances was never going to be something to fight about. He says, we're not in control of it anyway.
Right. That's right.
Okay? I can't do anything more than I can do, and you can't do anything more than you can do, and that's not going to be why if we're going to fight, it'll be about something important. Yeah. And why is it called Maisa Hatzdaka specifically? Because of the ramifications of giving tzedakah and being the best way to draw godliness down into this physical world. Okay, at this point we're all reaching into our wallets and we're taking out the bucks and we're putting them into pushkas because, hey, this is, you know, which is what the Alter Rebbe wanted. V'zeo diknach loshen zehar kadosh. Man da avid shmei kedisha da avid daika. It says in the Zohar that the person who wants to make a holy name, it says there the word is there is da avid, make. Ki v'sarusa de letata bitztaka v'chesed tata, because with this arousal from below, and by giving tzedakah, and this expression of lower form of kindness, as opposed to Hashem's, Ma'arech Hesed Olin, he arouses from him getting excited and giving, being, bestowing kindness, so it arouses Hashem, and Hashem bestows kindness. L'hamshich orin soibu v'chinus chachmi iloh, then to draw down from the highest levels of the creation process, from the level of Hashem's supernal wisdom, which is not coming from the hay, which is what is happening when a person's studying Torah, so okay, he's keeping the world going, but it's since he's engaged in speech, and that's how he's affecting the world, so he's drawing down from Hashem's speech. Mm. Hashem's speech is the last hay.
Right.
By him giving tzedakah, it's coming from the yud, which is much higher, it's a much higher form of godliness that's coming into this world. Yishal shem l'Hashem, shal shem b'chinas hadiba ruach, shal shem, l'hei shal shem b'chinas hadiba ruach pivyiz baruch, as I just said. Kidei l'hashpil l'olam asiya, to honor to have an effect on this physical world. Al derech mashal l'havdol havdolos ein keitz k'mayish sha'adam einu medaber ela l'acherim. He says, for example, give a bad example, as he says. He says, this is a bad example. Uh-huh. But when somebody talks to somebody else, okay, you're talking very kind words to the person. What do we call that?
Flattery.
Lip service, right. That's what that is. And you can be showing all kinds of sentiments and all kinds of, you know, compassion, and you can make the person feel good, but it's only lip service. Because people don't talk to themselves. Okay, do I have to pat myself on the back and make myself feel good?
No.
I suppose. I mean, you know, it's better than make myself feel bad. Then what happens is that in order to do that, so the person is containing his intellect and his thought into his words, and he's conveying it to them, and the intellect, this will suffice for those who are understanding enough to have the intelligence to understand what I've been talking about for the last 4 hours. That the main deal is if you want to get the job done, if you want godliness to do what godliness needs to do, you have to give tzedakah. You have to engage in the physical world to do it.
Right.
To be continued. We'll start chapter 6 next time.